You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen with you, and you are On the Couch. And as we always say here on LA Talk Radio, we say what we want. And always about this time slot, we're talking about relationships. We're talking about coping with other people, making your life work, just basically sort of getting it together so you're not feeling uncomfortable every day, so you can work through stuff going on in your life. I always encourage you to call in if you have something to say, you want to talk live with me or my guest, who I'm going to introduce in just a bit. You can call us at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Or, of course, you can instantly email me. I take them as they come in order, and it's docmichelle@aol.com. That's two L's in my name, docmichelle@aol.com. If you're kind of shy and you don't want to put your voice on the radio, you want to stay anonymous, you can, again, email me, docmichelle@aol.com. And that's the way it works. So welcome. Let me ask you a couple of questions, folks. Do you often say, why does my partner say those weird things to me? Or why does he or she just tune me out? Or something like, I don't understand why so many people have a sense of entitlement. How many times do you think that a day? People are crowding and shoving and me, you know? Do you often say, why are there so many rude jerks out there? Well, we're going to find out, because my guest today is two-time best-selling and Gold Award-winning author Beverly Flaxington. She's an accomplished consultant, hypnotherapist, personal coach, professor, entrepreneur, and that's just to name a few, by the way, of her credits. Today we're going to be talking about her latest book, 30 Days to Understanding Other People, and it's a daily guide to improving relationships, basically. And it's great to have you on the show, as always, Bev.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
Well, you always bring out some great books, which are so helpful to people. And you know, I am a relationship specialist, but when your books come out, they really clarify a lot of things for listeners out there. And I get a lot of requests for your books. So it's a good one. Your latest read's terrific. I really enjoyed
it. Oh, I'm so honored, because I have so much respect for the work you do, so I'm honored.
Well, thank you, Bev. This, by the way, is that daily guide to improving relationships. It's a 30 days to understanding other people. So what inspired you to put this book together, Beverly?
Well, after my first book, Understanding Other People, I had so many people that wrote to me, and from all over the world, and they would say, I love the concepts here, it's been very eye-opening, mm-hmm. but what do I really do on a day-to-day basis? So I started myself to blog and to really become more aware, mm-hmm. you know, day-to-day, all the opportunities we have to learn more about ourselves, more about others, more about our relationships. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, wouldn't it be nice for people to just have, here's a short little thing to think about. If you want to do an exercise, if you want to challenge yourself, you can do it. But just to become more aware on a day-to-day basis.
Right. That's so wonderful to help people out. And so what do you want people to really get out of your book? And let me just throw this in too. What can they learn? Can they really learn how to get along better with people and understand other people in 30 days?
And I've had many people say, only 30 days?
Yeah,
I've been working on this for 30 years.
That's right. Plus. Right.
But I figure, and you know this well too, you know, any incremental new idea that we get or something that we can try, you know, it really is a work in progress, right? Mm-hmm. And we have to work at it all the time. And my idea with this really is, what if we, a lot of times we just aren't paying that much attention. You know, we're just going through our day-to-day, and mm-hmm. we're somewhat rote, and we interact with people the same way.
Right.
And so this was really meant as a little bit of just kind of a wake-up. Hey, what if you thought about this? Or what if you looked at that? Mm-hmm. Or did you ever think about this? So it's really meant just to get people maybe thinking about this a little bit more mm-hmm. in the hope that if they enjoy doing that, they'll carry it past the 30 days.
Yes, it's so true. And what I really enjoy about your book, I love your approach to trying to help other people understand possibly motives or other things going on with other people and or ourselves. So what do you mean when you say that our inner experiences often mirror what someone else is dealing with? What do you mean by that?
Oh, and this is such a hard one, isn't it? I use an example that I was just talking about with someone the other day, and they said, oh, I'm so loathe to admit what you're saying, but it's true. And I was saying how, you know, you take an example of when we're going somewhere in a car.
Right.
And if I happen to be late, my teenager's mm-hmm. been waiting for me, I'm late to pick her up.
Right.
I'm going to justify, right? I can drive quickly. Maybe I'll, you know, get through that stop sign a little faster than I should, whatever it might be.
Right.
But if I'm not, and I'm just in the normal traffic, and I see someone else doing that,
right?
Oh, my gosh. What do I think of that person?
Right.
Could they be more rude? And so this is the thing that, you know, a lot of what we dislike about other people does live inside of us. It's so hard for us to admit that,
it's
but
true.
It's there.
It's so true. What I try to do when I work with people is help them understand, as you do in your coaching and therapy work, help them understand the motivation behind other people. And what can you find in yourself, like you said, that is the same? What is going on within them? And you also talk about giving ourselves opportunities to see the humanity in other people, and that we aren't superior to others. We're just different sometimes. So that's difficult, Bev. That's difficult.
It really is.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But you think about this. You know, when someone does that for us, I had a situation the other day.
Yeah.
I've been very busy, and a woman, another mother, where my son has danced for years. His
mm-hmm.
recital's coming up. And she came up to my car. I was pulling up to drop him off, and she said, "You're crazy lately busy. So I bought a card for you to give to your own son with this little iTunes gift card." And, you know, I drove away, and I could feel myself tearing up because
aww.
I thought, what a kind,
yes.
I didn't ask her to do it. I wouldn't have even thought about it.
Yes.
But she said, I was just trying to think of something that would matter a lot. And
aww.
So instead of her, I mean, she could have said, what's wrong with this woman? She works too much. I can't believe she's not on top of her son's recital. What's the matter with her?
Aww.
So critical, and yet she used that opportunity to show me my own, you know, humanity and hers, and just what a gift that is for us. It just touches our core, I think.
Gosh, it really does. And this woman knows you and knows who you are and knows you're busy, right?
She knows me,
yeah.
And she also knows,
yeah.
You know, I so value my competency and
right.
being on top of things.
Aww.
And but she knows me well enough to know that there's probably no way.
Right.
And she was absolutely right that I
right.
could have even thought about doing something like that
exactly.
for my son. And
aww.
So, you know, to just almost be one step ahead, you know,
right.
not even listening to me complain or, but just thinking, wow, I know this person, I'm observing what's going on.
Yes.
What would be a really nice thing I could do for this person? And I just think, you know, we don't think about how to do that enough
right.
on a day-to-day basis. I mean, some people are wonderful at it, but
yeah.
I think all of us probably could find more opportunities, especially with those that we're closest to.
Yeah. Yes, it's so true, Bev. And I think that that does help enrich our relationships, mix our friendships, and the acquaintances who we see, work with, or whatever on a daily or weekly basis. It really helps make those relationships healthier, basically, if we do just the little acts of kindness, you know, acknowledging that we know someone else is under pressure or working hard, or just saying, boy, I care about you, and you should slow down a little bit, and you don't have to worry so much, because there's a lot of people who appreciate you. I mean, just those small acts of kindness sometimes are great.
Really, so true. And, you know, you think about, especially, you know, as we go through our busy days, you know, so many of us, and especially, again, in our romantic relationships that, you know, you work with so many couples, you know, and it's all about, you know, getting the stuff done of the day.
Yeah.
And when somebody stops and they just seem to notice you and think about something about you.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, we really feel that, because it just doesn't happen enough.
Right. You're so right, Bev. It sure doesn't happen enough. So sort of knocks people off kill when you do it. They're kind of, whoa.
You know, I'm driving away, and oh my goodness, I'm thinking, wow, I'm going to start crying. This is so silly, because, you know, it's not even like my son's, you know, he's been in recitals for 10 years. I don't think he'd really care if he didn't get a car, but it was just that someone would do something that nice for me and not have any expectation of anything, you know, just to do something nice. And I think, you know, when that happens to us, we really are just so touched by it. And someone asked me the other day, they were writing an article about the five things that we should never text, you know, that the world is coming to text.
Right.
And, of course, there's the common ones that I'm sure you counsel people on.
Right.
Don't break up over text and things. But,
right.
you know, my thing was, if you know somebody's going through something, I mean, call them on the phone. I mean, just tell them that you're thinking of them. Just... Mm-hmm. You know, just extend that hand. So anyway, that's really about humanity. It's that we are all doing the best we can do most of the time.
Yeah.
The way it manifests may not be sometimes the best, but we really, most of us have honestly good intentions.
Yes.
And when someone else can come along and recognize that and just do something kind out of the goodness of their hearts, we just really notice it, and it means so much.
Gosh, it's so true. By the way, if you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, this is Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch with me and my special guest today, Beverly Flaxington. She's, man, she's won so many awards. Best-selling author, hypnotherapist, personal coach, professor, entrepreneur, just to name a few. We're talking about her latest book today, which is terrific in helping you understand others and yourself. It's called 30 Days to Understanding Other People. It's a daily guide to improving relationships. Great book. Get a hold of it. Not a real difficult read, but very well stated and comfortable. You can take it wherever you want to go. And if you have some spare moments, read it. Go online, too, and pick it up. And we'll talk about how you can get a hold of it a little bit later. Bev, let's talk about relationships with our spouses or partners or whoever. One of my most favorite subjects here, okay? One of the most common complaints I hear from couples is that one or the other tunes them out. I hear this a lot from women, because men are different in their ways of coping with information. How do you suggest people help themselves with learning how to not tune someone else out or understand the person who does?
Gosh, this one really, could we not do a whole show on this topic?
Yes.
So a couple pieces. You know, I think that what's so interesting, I had and this is what I love about doing this work, you know, is you just catch yourself sometimes in the moment. So I had a situation myself the other night with my husband where there was something going on with our daughter that was a, you know, a serious issue, and I was, you know, explaining some of it, and long story short, in the middle of it, I started to go off and do something else while we were talking, and he said to me, you know, sometimes you say to me that I don't listen, but I just want you to catch yourself right now, because I wouldn't say you're exhibiting the best listening skills right now either. And it hit me because I thought, wow, when we see someone else tuning us out, we sometimes need to also look at our own behavior. Like, are we being as open? Are we being as accepting? I mean, is all of our body language and our approach to them, or are we coming at them somewhat dismissive, maybe aggressive, right?
Right.
So some of it is, what are you doing that may be, in fact, bringing about a reaction that the person may or may not be aware of, but intrinsically they are saying, I got to put up a wall here.
Right.
Or, right? I don't want to engage. But then if you're the one tuning out, I mean, what I don't understand sometimes is why, you know, it is so hard for us. I mean, there are certain times, my children will come a lot when I'm working on something and I may be writing.
Right.
And they'll try to talk to me about something.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I've had to learn that I have to turn and I have to say, you know, right now,
right,
I know this is important, but I can't focus on you right now because I'm really in the middle of something.
Yes.
But I care a lot about what you have to say.
That's
so
lovely.
Would it be okay if I finish what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then I come and we sit down together.
Yes.
And that's made such a difference, because the truth is, historically, I would tune them out a little bit,
right,
because I was preoccupied.
But at the same time, you didn't want to disappoint them. You didn't want to put them off. So you wanted to let them think that you were there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So to acknowledge that sometimes, and for some men, they're just not up for the discussion right now, but
right,
let the person know, I do care about you.
Yes.
And I hear how important this is.
Yes, yes.
But now isn't a good time for me.
Right. I love the way that your husband expressed himself to you. What a great guy. I mean, how gentle is that? It's like,
you know, you can't, poor guy. I mean, he's got a cross to bear. You can't live with somebody who's going around identifying things and not start doing it yourself, I guess.
Well, that's true. That's very true. But, you know, that's terrific. And if more couples had that kind of, communication, that would be terrific, wouldn't it? So,
well, because it is about, you know, on that note, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it really is about, how much do I care about you? Or is it me that I want to just prove the fact that, yep, there we go again, you tune me out.
Right.
You know, we can be right or we can be in relationship,
exactly,
but sometimes we can't have both.
So true, Bev. It's so true. Listen, if you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, this is Dr. Michelle and you are on the couch with me, my special guest today. Author, accomplished author, you've heard her on the show many times, Beverly Flaxington. We're talking about her latest book, 30 Days to Understanding Other People, and it is a daily guide to improving relationships. If you would like to call in, if you have a question for Bev, please feel free, 323-203-0815. We'll take your calls live. If you have any questions at all about relationship issues or how to improve your relationships, communication skills, 323-203-0815, or you can email me instantly. I will take them in order, docmichelle@AOL.com. That's two L's in my name, docmichelle@AOL.com. So a lot of us need to speak up in our lives, Bev, because we feel like we don't want to offend other people. And I hear this a lot from some of my clients who need assertiveness training, but they don't want to hurt other people, or their background has been to just sort of keep a low profile and walk on eggshells. That's how they survive. But how can we stand up for ourselves, right, and keep our relationships sort of decent?
You know, this is such an interesting topic, too, because, you know, when we've talked on prior shows about behavioral style, and, you know, we know that there's a very small segment of the population that actually what we would say is comfortable with conflict, right? It's something like 80% plus of us are not.
Right.
So one of the things is not thinking about standing up for myself as having to engage in conflict. Like, I think somehow we put a label on it that says, you know, that it means I have to get in someone's face, or I have to, you know, be angry or bold, or, You know, standing up for yourself really to me means I'm aware of my boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, I've set my own boundaries. And quite frankly, I am a big advocate of people working with you, Doc Michelle, and others like you, because I think sometimes we need to even understand what are our boundaries, right? You know,
it's
what's
true.
Okay and what's not.
Right.
But once we see, you know, this person is just pushed a little bit too far, I think it really is, again, back to the prior example we used about being able to express, you know, literally saying, you know, sometimes I let people push me too far.
Right.
And in the past, I've got resentful about it or mad about it. So what I'm really trying to do now is just not do things that I don't really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard for me.
Yes.
But this isn't something right now that I feel like I can do, or this isn't something I'm comfortable with, or because you think about it, and I just had this conversation with my teenager, you know, who was talking about it at the age she's at, the kids that drink. And and look, I mean, they're having to learn at a very young age.
Yes, they
How do I stand up for myself?
Right, right.
So how do we forget? And she said, Mom, I'm just telling my friends I care a lot about you, but just because I care about you doesn't mean I'm going to do something I don't want to do.
Great.
And you think about, I mean, I thought about the vignette. I thought, wow, why don't adults say that more often?
Yeah, exactly. That's a good one.
I can care about you, but not want to go along with whatever it is you're asking of me.
That's
so
perfect.
I think boundaries are, you know, boundaries are key, but then just being able to verbalize in a way that you don't feel like, you know, you have to come out fighting.
Right,
you just have
right.
to say, this isn't right for me.
Oh, so true. Good for your daughter. Wow. That's terrific.
Oh, that's a tough, I mean, it's tough for them. It's really
sure
tough
it
for them. And look, it's not easy. I mean, she's lost many, 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 many friends
right.
because of, you know, that issue. And
well, sure.
it's painful for them.
Sure
but, you
it
know,
is.
It is about choices.
That's right. And she must understand it's not about her. It's about her choices. And I'm sure she gets that from you because that's what you do, is you help her. So.
Well, she happens to be, I'll give her a lot of credit. She's a pretty mature teenager, but, you know, they struggle. I mean,
sure
it's hard. I wouldn't want to be a teenager.
You and me
say
both.
That.
No, I hear what you're saying. Let's talk about one step further. You know, we talked about drawing boundaries, Bev. How would you suggest we cope with some of the folks in our lives, whether they're in our family or workplaces, who are really inappropriate? I mean, there are some people we sort of have to deal with. They're in our face, or they just won't be quiet. They need to keep talking, and, you know, they're just, this is their style. How do we deal with these people?
Oh, and I feel that the universe keeps sending a lot of them my way. I think it's like a little private joke to keep, you know, trying different things.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. So you look
so,
at it.
So, I mean, they are everywhere. And, you know, so a lot of it is, you know, we do have to look at ourselves, too, and
right.
say, you know, we are triggered by certain types of behavior, certain types of people.
Sure.
And so what is it about their behavior that's triggering us? Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes, let's say I have the yeller. You know, my
yeah.
mother-in-law is a yeller, and she's
okay.
always, you know, my trigger is that I shut down when someone yells at me.
Yes.
Well, you know, if we can step outside that for a minute, the dynamic, if I shut down, what does that usually make the yeller do?
Yes.
Yell even more.
Right.
They're trying to get your attention, right?
Right. Exactly.
I mean, it's such an interesting, I mean, it really is fascinating. If it weren't
right.
so painful to be
right.
in the middle of it, the stuff really is fascinating. But, you know, or you have the talker, and what do I tend to do? I will tend to, well, gosh, I don't want this conversation to keep going. Let me stop talking. So they fill the void.
Yes, yes.
So we have to see that sometimes inadvertently, I don't mean to say that we're that we're guilty or
yeah.
judge, but
sure.
inadvertently, we're actually exacerbating the behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So again, some of it is sometimes to actually come out and engage in a similar kind of behavior. You know, if somebody is yelling at you, just to very sternly say, you are in my face right now. I don't like it.
Yes.
Back off.
Right. Yeah. We have to.
Oh, my gosh. You know, you do that to somebody who's coming on very powerfully to you, and
yes.
it's all the wind out of their sails.
That's right.
Well,
right.
what do you mean? nine times out of ten, that person will say, what do you mean? I'm not yelling at you.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
Or the talker. I have a client right now, and in a half-hour conversation regularly can extend to an hour or more. Yes. And so what I ended up having to do with him, it was put in writing, and I said, I understand you have a lot to say. I don't feel that the time's productive, though, for either one of us. What I'd like to do is, put most of what we need to address in writing, and then let's go through it. So when we're talking, we have it all that we're working from.
Yes.
And that's kept him to the 30 minutes. And he has said to me, thank you, because I waste so much time.
Yeah.
But sometimes I don't even know how to stop myself.
Yes. That's so true. Oh, man.
So, can kind of think about, again, we just tend to be so, and it's so common. We all do it.
Mm-hmm.
But we tend to react. And so if we can sometimes catch ourselves and say, wait a minute, what's really happening here?
Yes.
Do I have another option?
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. That's true.
We can work with it.
It's so true, Beth. You're right. Hey, we have an email here from Lisa. Would you like to tackle this question? It's a good one.
Sure.
All right. Lisa just wrote me here live on the air on docmichelle@AOL.com, docmichelle with two L's at AOL.com. And she said, Dear Beverly, my sister always calls me and my family. She is angry much of the time and leaves long phone messages. We try to avoid picking up the phone because we know that she has borderline personality disorder. Oh, dear. How do we talk with her and not feel guilty? That's from Lisa. Oh, boy.
I love this question, though, because Lisa really has keyed on the most important part.
Yes.
So, of course, what I don't deal with in my work, I'm not a psychiatrist and I'm not a medical person.
Right.
So I don't deal with mental health issues. And unfortunately, in our culture, there are many people suffering from, diagnosed mental health. And this is clearly one of those cases, right?
Yes.
But what's going on, Lisa, is, the guilty part, right? So
right.
I always say to people, what's the part of the relationship equation that you can control?
Correct.
And so it really is looking at what is the substance of the guilt. Is there something that went on with her in younger years that you still feel like, you're paying penance for? Do you feel like you could have been able to help her? We have all these shoulda, coulda, woulda that go on with us.
Right.
And that's what starts to actually come up inside of us. So it isn't even so much the dealing with the phone call as much as the forgiving of yourself to say, this situation stinks. I have a sister with basically who's got a disease.
Yes.
And to try to look at it as any other kind of disease that somebody can't, or perhaps it's somebody who should take their medication, they don't. There's all these scenarios, right, that we can't, we can't go into all of them. But for whatever reason, the behavior persists.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lisa, for you, what's so important really is looking at why do I react the way that I react? What is that about? And trying to get more curious about it, more objective about it, and then let go of it. So that, because what's happening is you're getting so drawn in, and this is what we get so drawn into the dance, as I call it.
Yes.
That we want to almost step outside of it and try to figure out what's really going on here and why.
Right. It's so true. And I love that part about forgive yourself. Try to work through things that you feel guilty about in relationship to your sister. That's really terrific. That's great advice, Bev.
It's hard. I mean, there's many people that deal with these situations with people who really are ill.
Yeah.
And it's, we can do a lot and not be able to create change there. But so I always feel like, what can we work with? All we can work with is what's inside of us.
Exactly. Exactly, Bev. And sometimes if you do have a family member, Lisa, I really encourage if anyone has a family member with a diagnosis and it's a very disturbing personality issue, you can go online, you can talk to your doctors, get a little bit more information about what they're going through. And the access to, personality disorders are very tough sometimes to deal with because there's a lot of therapy needed And you just do have to have some compassion. But at the same time, you know, when you're dealing with a borderline or a narcissist, sometimes you have to just draw boundaries, as Bev said. I agree with you, Bev. So thank you, Lisa, so much for emailing us. If you just tuned in here to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, my special guest today is Dr. Beverly Flaxington. She's terrific, man. She's written so many great books. We're talking about her latest, 30 Days to Understanding Other People. It's a great read, and it's got a lot of insight into it. Let's talk about, you mentioned in your book that as much as others are a problem for us, that for others, we are the problem. What do you mean by that, Bev?
Oh, and that's such a hot potato. I do want to just clarify, though, you are actually the only doctor on the phone, even though I do know a lot about this. I haven't gone for the schooling that you have. So,
wow.
That's why I like to call you Doc, even though so Doc Michelle, because that's a credential I don't hold at the moment.
Well,
but I
you.
Do want to just focus on this issue where, this is one that's so hard for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, if everyone else out there would just stop doing what they're doing and cooperate with us, we would have no problems, right?
Right.
The problems would all go away.
Right.
The problem is, and you know, you sit down with couples all day long. Can you tell me, in all of your years, has there ever been a situation where there wasn't two perspectives on what's going on?
No, of course. Everyone has their own truth.
So I've had just so many funny situations where, you know, I may talk to someone and they'll say, you know, you talk a lot about dealing with difficult people, but what if you think that you're the one that's difficult? Because I think I'm the one that's difficult for everybody. And I laugh. I mean, we all are difficult for somebody.
Right.
And what is important to understand about it? So what do I mean by it? And back to, this isn't about beating up on ourselves. This isn't about wishing we were different. This is really about that compassion piece. It's back to, you know, my driving too fast example that says, you know what, in certain situations, I've done that. I've been angry like that. I've given someone the cold shoulder. I've left a clipped message. I've sent an email that I really shouldn't have.
Yep.
It's a rare person that hasn't done something that they wouldn't love to be able to go back and revisit. I know all of what I know because of so many mistakes that I've made.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's so important for us to just from time to time hold on to that and remember that, because it really does help us sometimes. Instead of that quick to judge, it really does help us to say, you know what, I recognize that. Let me dig down a little bit and see what's really going on with that person, because I've been there too.
Right.
And it's back to, you know, really being able to connect with somebody at that human level.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can say, what am I doing in this case? And, you know, and back to like what we talked about with the tuning out.
Yes.
Am I doing something that is triggering the tuning out of my partner?
Yes.
And is there a behavior I might be able to change?
Yeah.
We're loath to do it, but it's so powerful. It's really where we can exert our power when we do.
Gosh, it's so true. It's so true, Bev. One of my favorite parts of your book is where you talk about how important it is to want to see the parts of ourselves that we can't embrace or we can't love. And it is very difficult. Why is it so important to do that?
Gosh, and you know, this really goes back to a little bit of, you know, like the guilt that we talked about from the email from Lisa. I mean, what happens is that, you know, all of us, I like to say, you know, that we're all a work in progress,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
This is a journey of learning.
Yes.
And the thing is that we really do, unfortunately, try to shove down or push away or deny those parts that we don't like. I have a trigger temper. I do tend to get nasty. I do gossip too much. Whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Fill in the blanks of whatever the behavior is.
Yep.
But the problem is that as long as we push that away and we can't embrace it and realize this is part of who I am,
yes,
then we have no chance to ever deal with that behavior.
Yes.
And that's usually the thing in somebody else that we dislike the most.
Yes. Yes.
Right? It's like my husband saying to me, well, wait a minute here. Yeah. Wait a minute. Aren't you walking away on me? And don't you tell me that I'm not a good listener.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Ooh.
So, but we have, but instead of, oh, beat up, I can't believe I do this, back to shoulda, coulda, woulda, to be able to say, you know what, wow, yeah, look at that.
Mm.
I am a work in process. I got to take that along with everything else.
Yep.
And in doing that, maybe I can become more aware of it and actually do something about it.
Ugh, that is so true, Beth. And it is nice to be able to laugh at ourselves sometimes. Especially when, you know, like you said, your husband tells you that you're doing something that you really don't like in other people. Isn't it nice sometimes to acknowledge things that we do possibly to annoy others or habits we're not consciously aware of? And when we realize that we do that, just to go, oh my gosh, I am crazy sometimes, you know, just to laugh at ourselves.
It's well, kind of, and don't we all, you know, I had, oh gosh, I mean, so many people really with understanding other people that would, you know, send me notes and say, it was so odd, I felt like you were following me around, and I feel confident it will be the same thing with 30 days, because, you know, we do all deal with these things, but we don't, there's no forum to talk about it,
so
we don't want to admit you know, this is what's going on, but it's going on for all of us.
It's so
and
true.
So to be able to admit it, laugh about it, and, you know, then in some ways move on, you know, figure out, is that a piece of my behavior right now I want to deal with or not? If it is,
exactly.
Deal with it. If it's not, well, hold on to it, realize it's part of you, and move on.
Exactly. That's so true, Bev. You have a great quote in here from the Dalai Lama, and that is, I have found that the more we care for happiness, for the happiness of others, the greater is our own sense of well-being. Boy, is that true. Why do you express that this is really true in your book?
Well, I feel that fundamentally, you know, we are very self-focused, and I don't mean to say that we're not caring about other people and that we don't give of ourselves. A lot of people will react negatively to that comment, I know, so I'm going to caveat it. It just means that, you know, we're in our own lives, right? Mm-hmm. So what's happening with my family or my job or my financial situation is what I'm most attuned to. It's pretty normal and natural.
Yes.
But, you know, when you think about reaching out to somebody else, is there something I could do for another person?
Yes.
What's happening over there that I might be able to contribute to? You know, what might I be able to think about that would make a person feel happy, feel, you know, engaged? There's nobody that can say that there isn't some uplifting of the soul that happens when we do that.
Yes.
And, you know, I don't really care who you are or where you're from, or I think the Dalai Lama nails it, that our sense of self-reeling, our sense of well-being, something happens inside of us and we are lifted.
Yes.
By the act of doing it. So, you know, to pick up our head from whatever we're dealing with and focus on someone else and say, what could I do for this other person?
Yeah.
There's just a joy that I think can't be matched by many things. And yet, you know, we don't get a hold of it as much as I think we could.
Yes, that's so true, Beth. We have another email here. Shall we read this?
Sure.
All righty. This is from Al, and this is at docmichelle@AOL.com, docmichelle@AOL.com. It says, Bev, my boss is a jerk. He is of the philosophy that if you compliment an employee, they will become too confident. He's always beating us down and blabbing about how we can all do better. How can me and my coworkers cope with this big bully? That's a great
one.
Oh,
gosh. I swear, you know, my next book, I am going to write one on bullies in the workplace because I feel as though this is a topic. I get interviewed so much about, you know, bullies in school, and I want to say sometimes, my gosh, the worst bullies I've ever seen were in the workplace.
True.
Give somebody some power. And
yes.
But here's the good news. So I love bully bosses because they really are, in some ways, the easiest to deal with. And Al, I don't mean to diminish how hard what you're going through is right now.
Right.
But when you are dealing with someone who's a bully, first of all, there is, you know, we go back to behavioral. There are people who are on the people scale very, very low. They don't engage well. They're not motivators. They don't believe in it. And then on the criticism scale, kind of the critical scale. They feel like their role is really find the problem.
Right.
So they literally, behaviorally, fundamentally, the way they're wired, they do not know how to motivate, believe in it, and really their eye is turned to what have you done wrong and how can you fix it?
Yes.
So the first thing, Al, is really to be objective about, you know, this person may just be wired that this is what he has to do, right?
Yeah.
The other piece of it is most people that come out swinging, you know, people who are bullies, fundamentally what is going on with most bullies, a deep sense of insecurity.
Yes, that's so true.
Let me shut everybody else down.
Yep.
Because then I don't have to engage. I don't have to, you know, worry about what people think about me. I just shut them down.
Mm-hmm.
So likely one of those two things is going on, you know, and you have people, and again, this is where I'll defer to you, Doc Michelle, because I'm not, you know, a therapist by training, but you certainly also have people that were, you know, maybe they were verbally or physically abused by a parent, and so that's what they've learned.
Sure.
Right?
Exactly.
I learned how to be an abuser.
Right.
So the best thing you can do, Al, is literally just you and your colleagues stop talking about it, stop recognizing it. When he brings something that you've done wrong, happy to fix that.
Right.
Literally kind of have, I call it the mental image of the plexiglass that surrounds you.
Yes.
And people are throwing these verbal things at you.
Right.
And it's like in the middle of it, okay, yep, no, I'll take care of that. All right, that's fine. And stop looking for affirmation from somebody who is wired in a way that they can't give it to you.
Right. Right. Exactly. That's a great.
And if it gets you, you know, if you can't do the plexiglass, sometimes you have to leave a bully boss.
Right.
Most people leave their jobs because of their boss.
Isn't that true? Isn't that true? And, you know, make sure, by the way, Al, you have another job locked up.
Yes.
Keep that income
important
coming.
Piece to add.
That's right. That's great advice.
Let's not get the show in trouble and say we told you to quit your job.
That's right.
No, in fact, it can be much more fun if you can get the plexiglass and you can understand what's really going on with this guy and you can start reacting differently. Mm-hmm. It can actually be kind of fun to be in an environment like that because he'll be perplexed and won't really know in a way how to deal with you.
Yes, it's so true. Thank you so much, Bev, for answering Al's question. And Al, thank you so much for emailing us. I know that helped you out. If you have any more questions, you want more details on this, you can check out Bev's book, 30 Days to Understanding Other People. It's very insightful. Will help you out as well. There's a neat concept also you talk about in your book, Bev. And you say that we can actually lose our power and control, okay, when we want to be assertive to people. There's rude people out there. There are people who are always cutting in front of us. There are people with issues that we don't know about what's going on. But how can we actually lose our power when we try to assert ourselves?
Well, it's when we react. So what happens is, so I do believe, you know, that we should be able to stand up for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely don't advocate being a shrinking violet. I think we need to know what our boundaries are. We need to be able to be clear with people, you know, when they've crossed them and what that means. So it's not, what happens though is the pendulum tends to swing, and when we're not thoughtful about it and we don't think about what we want to do before we do it, what happens is we just react. It's the
right.
knee jerk.
Sure.
And that's where we end up losing our power, because now I've said something that I really shouldn't have said. I've shot off that email that I never should have written.
Mm-hmm.
I have, lost my temper, or I have, said something. I remember a very dear friend of mine when her son was like 4,
right.
and he just pushed her to the limit, and it's funny because she's one of these people, I've never heard her swear in all the time I've known her, but she
right.
used very, very nasty language.
Yeah.
Now, that kid is 22 years old today and still brings up to her how
right.
she lost it and what she said to him. And see, this is the thing,
right.
what this is what then somebody associates with us is, you're this screaming person who's
right,
out of control.
Right.
So it's just very important that when we're dealing with somebody with unacceptable behavior, that we're thinking about, what is my goal here?
Mm-hmm.
What's the impact on me? What do I really want? And then we're acting in a way to bring that about, rather than just reacting, being triggered, giving
mm-hmm.
into the moment.
Yes.
Because that's when, 10 times out of 10, I'll say, we want to go back and redo it.
Yes, yes. Yep. Great answer. That's the way to think. Beth, how can people get a hold of you and find your books and just learn more about understanding relationships better?
The best place is probably the website, understandingotherpeople.com.
Mm-hmm.
But the books, of course, are everywhere, Amazon
sure.
and BN.com, and in most of the local bookstores. If not, you can ask for it, and they can order it. But understandingotherpeople.com has got some great things on the website, too.
Mm-hmm.
And always also love to hear from people, any ideas, any questions as well.
Terrific, Bev. Also, she's written many other books. Another book that I have interviewed you on before, Bev, is the Understanding Other People, The 5 Secrets to Human Behavior. Oh, you'll learn a lot about people, too, so you might want to pick up that book as well, folks, because it's also really terrific. And so I will have all this information up, by the way, on the webpage here on LA Talk Radio for On the Couch. So if you didn't get a chance, folks, to hear the whole show, you can, of course, download it or replay it tomorrow afternoon. And, of course, like I said, get in touch with Bev. So, Bev, thank you so much for being here. As always, you're a terrific, informative guest.
Oh, I enjoy talking with you so much, Doc. Michelle, and I will say, I do think it's so important for so many of us
mm-hmm.
to seek out someone like yourself if you're in L.A., you, and if not, find somebody else. Because, these things are just helpful sometimes to talk with someone else. And
sure.
when we can talk with someone else, sometimes we think, oh, yeah, now that's something I could try or that's something I could do. So just to say to people, keep trying, keep
yeah.
practicing,
yes.
don't give up. This is a daily work on relationships.
Right. Like you said, it is a journey, isn't it? It's all a learning journey.
Some days we'd rather not be in the school, but unfortunately, there we are.
All right. Beth, thanks a million, and I appreciate the plug as well. So have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye now. All right. Again, that's Bev Flaxington, and Beverly is the author of her latest book, 30 Days to Understanding Other People, A Daily Guide to Improving Relationships. Everybody wants to improve their relationships. Yeah. And this book is a very comfortable and informative read, so check it out. This is Dr. Michelle, and we're off the couch now. You can stay on if you'd like. More great shows coming up, as well as CBS News here on LA Talk Radio. I'll be back next week. Again, another fabulous author talking about getting through the rocky times. How can we cope with that? Of course, you can contact me at docmichelle@aol.com. Always a pleasure to have you here. Bev and my show is up on the internet for replay on iTunes as well. Take good care, and as I always say, take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. Bye-bye.
Got you on my mind again tonight. Flashing red.